Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 208. This is part two, the conclusion to harvest time. Today is Sunday, August 21st, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
Wow. I mean, truth is lost in the very imaginations of men. Lost in the, let's say, the inventions of the age. Instead of revelations, we have philosophy. And continual kitchen prophecies. What is that? Well, that's when a bunch of people get together in the kitchen and they prophesy over each other. And there's dirty dishes in the sink. And they have a husband, like I said, Friday night. His head is shaped like a TV dinner tray. Huh? Kitchen prophecy. I had one. I get them all the time. They send them in the mail. And, oh, I had a dream the other night. And this happened, and that happened. And, oh, gee. I seen you in a casket, one person said. And I was so upset. Well, did you call to see if I was alive or what? Another person called me and says, I seen your arm had been severed from your body. You had no arm. And they went on and on and on. I've been mutilated through. Are you hearing this? How many know what I'm talking about? Then these things are damnable. Are you hearing this? Woo-hoo. And so people become very scattered, and the truth is lost, and it's lost in argument and in doctrine and in imaginations of men and in the inventions of the age. Instead of divine infallibility, we have a sort of a surmises, let's say, or a larger expectation. Do you have larger expectations for people? Are you disappointed where they don't meet your larger expectations that you had of them? I expected more out of you than this. Never expected you'd do this. Now, this has come so unexpectedly. Huh? Now, people cannot believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why? Because if you don't live gospel, you are bored by gospel. It's too shallow for you if you don't live it. Honk! There's a lot of people sounding trumpets right now, aren't they? It doesn't give a certain sound. And who is going to prepare for battle with so queer a sound? And so many! And everybody's got a different hoot to their toot. All these horns are going off. Toot! Honk! Beep! Bonk! Huh? And who is going to follow and who is going to listen, because it's so off and it's so queer and there's so many trumpets out there. And they're all trumpets of doom, half of them. Wow. Well, what a day we live in. Who is going to prepare for battle with all this going on? World leadership, it's uncertain. Right now we're trying to make an amendment to keep the president in. That's in. No leaders out there. Are there leaders? Where are the leaders at? Where are the leaders? And I'm going to take this in my own hands. Where are the leaders on the north side? Now, I got kind of quiet on that one. Maybe there's a couple of so-called leaders in here. I don't know. Maybe they're on the radio. Maybe they'll show their faces so we'll know who they really are. They're a mystery to me. I haven't seen any down here. Come on now. But you see, you really can't attack anybody because Jesus here is talking to the church. Now, world leadership is pretty shaky, isn't it? Not here, not Northside, not Minneapolis, not Minnesota, Wisconsin, Delaware, whatever. Talking about worldwide. No clear sound from the trumpet for the world or for the body of Christ. Seems like everyone is blowing a revelation trumpet. What a confusion in a battle call. Huh? Remember about a year and a half ago, guy had figured it all out. The end of the world was going to come at 12:31. I don't know how he came to that. 12:31 or something like that. On a Wednesday, let's say, afternoon. He had it all figured out. Bible says, no man knows the hour. Nobody knows. No one, Jesus said, but the Father knows. Now add on to this, a church of Christ Jesus that takes on lifelessness. Endless talking, let's say, in their sleep. No physical involvement whatsoever. Indifference, a ho-hum attitude, a lack of spiritual power. And so when witnessing is put off, and when vitality is despised, oh, will you sit still? Will you just sit down for an hour or two? Will you just sit down? When prayer is neglected, and I caught myself neglecting prayer whilst I was on the way to work because I was busy dodging all these speed demons on the road. You know, and I've come to the realization when someone beeps their horn, you say, that's a different sounding horn. And get back into a little bit of humor so I could keep myself together and get into prayer. Now, we're looking at the present church, and the church spirit is of a Laodicean spirit, which is neither hot nor cold. And Jesus is rolling it around in his mouth. The Bible says, I will spew you out. The church said, and the Laodicean said, we're rich and we're increased in goods and we have need of nothing. Well, the Lord stood outside and he knocked. Let me in. Let me in. The door was locked against the Lord Jesus Christ. And the teachings of Jesus were overlooked. And they are right now. Go ye out into the world and preach the gospel is overlooked. No, I know, and it's going to come that says the church is going to be tried by fire. How many know our ministry has gone through a few blazings? Well, she's clothed with science, and she's clothed with education, and she's clothed with seminars and continual learning. And she's clothed with oratory. Zion's solemn assembly, it says, is in a dark place because the teachings of Jesus Christ are overlooked and self is forefronted. And if we can no longer see a clear distinction between the world and the church, we're in trouble. Shouldn't we be the forerunners in the feeding of the poor? And shouldn't we be a forerunner in bringing out the gospel to the highways and to the byways and to all creation? They even have meetings now where they have Jesus as a partner. He comes into the real estate. Real estate, praise the Lord. And real estate as Jesus as the partner. But you start to check out all of them. And I'm not saying that is altogether entirely wrong. But when you look at the people that are sitting there and all the charts that are there, they started a squeak of greed. Now here's a man, he's got three cars in the garage. Let's look at those cars there. What'd you say that one over there on the right is? And I went to one of these meetings to see what it was about. And here's a car over here. What would you say that car? Well, that's a Rolls Royce over there. This man started out with nothing. Just look how God has blessed him. And then later they brought the guy out of the house. And he come out of the house. He come lumbering out of the house. It was about 900 pounds. Huh? And all the kids come out of the house. Why, are you against fat people? No, I didn't say that. Well, then the text tells us nextly, there were some to whom the reproach was a burden. They could not make sport of sin. Hardened spirits grieve them. And the prophet cried, go through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. This burdened spirit is a token of a true love for God and of God. When you're burdened in your spirit, when you're burdened in the spirit and in the spirit of your very being for what's going on and all the offness there is and all the wasting of time that's going on, well, those that love Jesus are wounded in the woundings and vexed with the vexings of His spirit. How many know that the Lord's Spirit is wounded? Where were you? Now, let me do it this way. Where were you when I was sick? He's vexed. And where were you when I was a widow? And where were you when I was in prison? And where were you when I was hungry? Where were you? Well, golly gee, gosh, we didn't know you were any of those things. Well, I tell you, if you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it to me. Where were you? Oh, I was at a seminar. I mean, you blessed me. It was your fault. You gave me that Rolls Royce and the other three cars, and I had to keep driving them around and shining them and stuff. And I didn't have time. I was busy glorifying myself and giving you some glory, too. No, go through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. I mean, when Jesus is dishonored, the disciples are dishonored. And I think those that have a tender heart towards the church can agree with Paul, who is offended and I burn not. I mean, the sins of the church of God are the sorrows of all the living members that are in it, concerned for the cause of Christ. Now, I have been asked for the 7 years that I have been down here, pack up all my cares and woe Get out of here. Well, my cares are here. Say amen, somebody. And for me to pack up all my cares, I'd have to pack up all these people, all these miseries and all this, and take them out of here and take them up into heaven. There is no way that I could possibly think of even leaving here. Why? I have been made willing. It's like I have, like I said, I have brown eyes, and they're brown eyes because they were made that way. Okay? And I have been made willing, so I've been made that way. And there's no way I can unmake that which has been made. I can't help it. Right? How can you just pull an escape act and just... God has called me, and I was prophesied over the other night, to leave everything. Oh my, how many people get out of things by... Well, I had a word just to take off. Well, did you get a word? Let's see if we can give you a word whether you should quit your job now. And you got 29 years, 11 months, and 29 days in. And if you quit, you won't get your retirement. And we'll see what God says about you leaving your job. Okay, assembly, gather around this person, because now we're going to find out what the will of God is for this man's life. How many know his heart would fail right there and he would drop dead? Let's be realistic about this thing. We only hear what we want to hear. Jesus has told me to stay where I have been planted. Now, I go, oh, I really like to get out. Sometimes I really would like to get out of here. Well, I'll tell the truth here now. See, but I haven't been made that way. I've been made willing to do this. I'm not saying my flesh is always willing. And so then I sit down, and then someone's going to prophesy on me, I think. And I always pick one, somebody that I know is sympathetic with me going to Africa or someplace. I've had a lot of those. Brother, I don't know what it is. There's a tent. There's a jungle gym type of hat on your head. There's one of these short-sleeved, sort of a brown jungle-like shirt on, and trousers with an army belt on, and brown socks and brown shoes. And they got done with me. I said, was there any bug spray in that thing there? I mean, you know. Because, see, God is going to talk to you first. He doesn't talk through people. All they do is give you confirmation on what he has already showed you. Period. Period. There's so many, you know, waterheads and airheads running around that just got to call up, you know, well, should we buy this car? Should we do this? Well, you know, let's go get a word. And they'll run over and get a word from somebody. And if it goes against what they really want to do, they'll go buy that car anyway. Well, let's go get a second opinion. Huh? Or a third one. And they end up, oh, let's flip a coin, huh? Whoa. Well, two out of three. You know? And we use it. We're users of God. How many know you can use God that way? Ooh. I mean, you guys are on the radio are getting real quiet now. Boy, don't wear your pencils out. You can get this tape. I'll send you one. Ooh, are you hearing this today? But the gospel is overlooked through all this. Doesn't this show sort of a healthy sensibility and a vital spirituality when we're all concerned about the sorrows of the church? Because those that are unspiritual can do nothing for the truth of grace. Not one thing. They look to finances. You're having a hard time. Oh, you're having a hard time. You shouldn't have a hard time. Wonder why you're having a hard time. I see you got a cold. Shouldn't have a cold. That's a curse. Huh? Guy called me on the phone. He says, listen, I got a terrible headache. And I've been prayed over and prayed over and prayed over. Will you pray for me? And he says, I almost took an aspirin. I says, listen, the world is not going to fall apart if you do take an aspirin. So I'm not going to get into this, whether you should take an aspirin or not. And don't go hide someplace so your rest of your Christian friends won't see you taking an aspirin. Do everything in the light. Because you might grab a hold of the wrong kind of pill and die, you know what I mean? Just go, hey, don't bother me with this. Right now I got 1,000 things on my mind. How many agree with that? I mean, don't you? I mean, isn't it nonsensical? I don't know. I wouldn't show very good faith if I took that aspirin. Well, I said, it wouldn't show very good faith if you cut your leg off and you said, leg, come jump back on my body again. Or are you going to have somebody sew that thing back on again? Huh? Come on now. Come on. Say amen, somebody. Oh, my. Oh, don't talk that way. Oh, no. No. Don't be realistic, right? Well, what are you going to do if you all of a sudden have a heart attack? Happens all of a sudden, doesn't it? I mean, that just happens like, bam, in your sleep. Now, don't get fearful. Some people are just born that way. They're born fearful. Leave the light on. Leave the light on. Gee, my heart feels funny tonight. I can't hear it. You got your hand on the wrong side. Right? But don't we have to get realistic in this thing, don't we? I mean, we're coming into a very dead church, full of worldliness. Now, I think spiritual men care for the church even when she's in an evil case. And when the adversaries cast her down. I seen an assembly that was cast down, and I knew the people in the assembly. Man, it just burdened me in my heart. And I come back, I went and I talked to the pastor and I said, what happened? He says, well, these guys all but shot me in the head. And he says, I kind of wish they would have. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, he says, look, he says, there's only a few people left here. I said, well, man, what's that got to do with you preaching the gospel? What has that got to do with you doing your job? Nothing. Well, they said this and they said that. God, brother, I mean, I've been wounded. I said, that's scriptural. Wounded in the house of your friends. Well, I says, I know. You're going to have to grow up into what I'm going to tell you. If Jesus suffered, you're going to suffer the same sufferings. If you want to join in the glory, you got to first, if you gain the crown, you got to suffer. Now, you had to grow into that. How many of you have to grow into things? How many know that things happen to you in your life and then you get scripture in life? You kind of have to grow up into that thing. How many know that? Just sit right back there, brother. You don't have to come all the way to the front. That's good right there, yeah. There's plenty of seats. Yeah, there's plenty here. There's a few left in the balcony yet, you know. But many in the body of Christ right now are burdened for the body. I'm burdened. Hungry people are coming to our doors by the droves. You really get into what we're doing down here, you can see it. Look how fast all that food went. It was just zap. It was gone. 7.5 tons of ground round. We're down to about 3 in just a few weeks. fish by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Gone. People coming right now and they'll have summer clothes on all the way into the winter. Does that burden you? Little kids running down the street and they have one sock on, one sock off, tennis shoes with laces in one and a broken one tied together in the other. Sad faces, no expression faces. I'll tell you, some days when I look at some of the kids down here and look at some of the people down here, my heart actually aches because I cannot do what I really want to do down here, and I am burdened for the Church of Christ because it doesn't want to add a nickel to what's going on down here. Say amen. I mean, I'm not mad at the Church of Christ or anything like that. That's impossible to be that way. But I'm burdened for her. I think Jesus right now is challenging the church. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm cold and I'm weary. Please, won't you open up the door and let me in? And as the end starts to come, God's Spirit will call out more and more. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm cold and I'm weary. And stop digging for oil. Stop going down through water when you're over there in Africa. Stop at the water line. Pump up into the fields that the harvest may be plentiful. And stop all this nonsense. But then again, these wandering ones are not without hope because verse 19 says, I will gather her that was driven out by false doctrine. Many are made to wander from the fold, the Bible says. By a whole lot of speculation. By a whole lot of conversation. The hopeful ones are made to stray the path of life, and sinners are left to themselves. And I believe the truth, which would convict sinners, is not preached. And people play church. It's nursed and rehearsed like a wedding. When we have a wedding, we rehearse it. People ask me to do weddings all the time because it's a big hall and you can go downstairs and cook. And I say, no, I don't get into that because, see, if you don't belong to this church, I can't do that. I don't have time for all of that. All you have to do is marry us. I says, no, it's more to that than that. You got to nurse it and rehearse it and put it through a horn until it is born into a new note. I says, there's a whole lot to do. We have to line you up. We have to put up with your mother-in-law. No, I think this should happen. She comes up the line. Huh? And then the other mother-in-law, and then they're mad at each other. You know what I mean? You have to make peace, and there's all kinds of things that enter into this. Isn't there? And so there's a lot that goes into it, isn't there? And a lot of times when we come to church, it's just practiced. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. And the bride of Christ is all practiced, all ritualized, all swinging their smoking lanterns or whatever, all candleized, all... Some houses are so full of statues, I don't believe it. They got these candles all over and they're flickering in the wind. Ooh, spooky in there. Spooky! Huh? Say amen, somebody. And it's all rehearsed, rehearsed, and nursed. And it's all ritual, and the world isn't going for it. They're saying, you're not real. And they hear him on the phone. And they say, oh, no. How many kids are turned off by that kind of thing? But look, there is a hope. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Now, preacher, you called me the other day and you said you were put to shame. Well, that's a good scripture. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And it goes on, I will make you a name and praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before the eyes, saith the Lord. I will do it. Some will even prophesy over each other. Your name shall be wiped off and you will never be remembered anymore. Doesn't say that in the Bible. Those that have Jesus Christ will be remembered forevermore. Because the adversaries can't silence the eternal testimony, they hanged the Lord himself upon a tree. They took down his body and buried it in a tomb and put a rock over the front. They sealed it with a great stone. Surely, they said, this was the end. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ right now. They are waiting for each other to go down, and surely this is the end. Wherein is this old dog going to wear out? Surely they thought, this is Jesus Christ's end. But no. When it was, the Bible says, the appointed time he came forth, he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. And he sits at the right hand of the Father even now. And listen, he shall return, the Bible says. Isn't there an air of expectation happening right now? Isn't there an air of expectation? Don't you feel it? Even now, God is in the midst, it says in the Bible, of us. He's watching and he's listening. And so have you been shamed and have you been slandered? So what? Will the church make it? I hear someone asking you on the radio. The Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And so today let us exalt in our possession. We have Christ. And Christ has us, and that's our position. Poor as we are rich in having God. Weak as we are, there is no limit to our strength, since Almighty God is ours, don't you see? If God be for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? If God is ours, what more can we ever need? Lift up your hearts, you listening on the radio, you sorrowful ones out there that call on the phone, and be of good cheer. If God be thy God, thou hast all that you could ever hope or ask for, all that you could ever desire. Because wrapped up, and I'll close this message up as quickly as I can, wrapped up within this glorious name we find all things, for all time and all eternity and for all earth and for all heaven. And so therefore we shall set up our banners and march onward into the battle. Hallelujah. He is our God and he is our own purpose and our covenant and our oath. He is not a long way off and not a far way off. He is near. Our God, Jehovah, it says, is in the midst of thee. The Word was made flesh, it says, and dwelt amongst us. And though his bodily presence, glory to God, is gone, he is with us in the Spirit. And the Bible says, lo, I'll be with you. I am with you always. He's inwardly right now. You're listening on the radio. Hallelujah. If you have Christ and you've been put to shame and you've been slandered and you've been looked at like you're some kind of a spiritual freak, let me tell you something. He inwardly moves in you. And if he would be with you right now, your troubles are over. Glory to God. He walks among, the Bible says, amongst the golden candlesticks. And we have an immediate presence, the Bible says, of God's own Holy Spirit. It says that he is in the midst of his church to enlighten and to convince, and to persuade, and to endow, and to comfort, and to clothe, and to give you spiritual power when you need it. And where two or three, it says, are gathered together in his name, there he is, hallelujah, in the midst of them. And our army shall shout glory to God. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. And the Lord thy God, it says, is in the midst of thee, is mighty, he will save. His arm has not been shortened. I hope to God that you're hearing this message today, and preachers that you call here, all four of you, and you won't give me your names, I'll tell you something right now. Be encouraged. Sure, things are going to happen to discourage us, but be like David. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Sure, we're going to have things happen. Sure, we're going to have difficulties, but what does that have to do? Let us pray then that He will save, that He will save His church in this deadly hour, hallelujah, that He will save her from the worldliness and from formalism, that He will save her from the unconverted ministers and the ungodly members. Let us lift up our eyes and look unto the hills from whence our help comes. Let us pray and right now and to believe the Lord, He is mighty to save. Oh, that we might see a great revival. And that great revival, glory to God, is within you. Hallelujah. And I hope I'm getting excited for a cause here today. Get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel. And don't you get your eyes on your miserable self. Stay, glory to God, where you are planted. Having done all, stand there. Hallelujah. And this would smite the enemy on the cheekbone. Hallelujah. And break, it says the Bible, the teeth of the adversary. If millions would come to know Christ by your standing, having done all, stand and don't listen to the voice of the archenemy that would take you away from your cause. Glory to God. Down with the modern thought. Faulty is the church right now. If it doesn't believe the word of God, He will rejoice over thee with joy. Hallelujah. The Father is rejoicing over you right now. Glory to God. Because God has found a satisfaction in His people. I know you say He shouldn't find a satisfaction in, but the Bible says He has. Hallelujah. There are mysteries that you don't even know about. His joy over them, it says, and His joy will be with singing. Can you imagine the sound of God singing? Be happy. The Bible says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad, rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And can you do that today? The believer sings, hallelujah. And the sparrow, he can only chirp in the daytime. But it's that nightingale that sings at night. And in that midnight hour, and in that hard time, preacher, don't you listen to the voice of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Have you heard this ministry today? Your God will come with vengeance, it says. Even God with a recompense. And He will come and save you. And lastly, let us be zealous. Let us not let thine hands be, it says in the word that I've read today, let hands be slack. Don't fold your hands. Don't become slack. Remember, the enemy is busy. You be busy, glory to God. Double your pleasure. Double your tithe. Double your prayer. Double your fasting. I'm not talking about Wrigley Spearmint gum either. I'm talking about chewing on the Word of God. Be more exact in your obedience. Resolve to end falsehoods and delusions. Be more earnest in your efforts. Let not thine hands be slack. The end. Hallelujah. Well, I said all that to say this. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Now, preacher, if you don't preach that, and you don't have it in every message, you're found faulty. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Well, you can have Him today. Right now. Right now. Anybody? You listening on the radio, maybe you're... Thought, now, what was that tirade all about? Well, I just got excited about what I'm doing. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You lovely people, are you born again? Yeah. Well, I was asked, I couldn't remember if I'd asked before or not. One girl asked me, she said, "You've asked me 4 times. I'm sorry. Probably ask you again. Anyone else? How about you young people? Are you all... got Jesus in your heart? Over there, have you? Okay, everybody? Have we got everybody here? How about here? This little guy here. You got Jesus in your heart? That's good. Bible says, forsake not the little children that come unto me, such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Boy, it's so important to lead them little kids to the Lord right away. You know, before they get too mean, right?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 208. That was part 2. Harvest Time. If you missed part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. Also, you're going to find the show notes that are for each episode. And within those show notes, look for the scripture links that are within each message. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, part one, Hunger and Thirst, name of the message. So be sure to be back here next Friday. Hey, that's just in time for the state fair.
El gato amor, el gato amor, el gato amor, ya, el gato amor. Oh, when the Lord get ready, el gato amor. Get ready, you got to move.